a lot of instances of fasting in the New Testament, some of those, and try to look at the purposes, the reasons people fasted that we see in Scripture. Now, I want to remind you, we do not have a direct command from the Lord in the New Testament to fast. It was commanded to the saints, to those in Jerusalem, the Israelites in the Old Testament. They had it was part of their law, but Christ fulfilled that law, and so we don't have a direct command, but we do have an expectation and an example. Jesus fasted. He told his disciples, when you fast, do it this way. And then we see the example of many of those in the New Testament. The Apostle Peter fasted. The Apostle Paul fasted. Cornelius, others. So we have examples of others who fasted. And so we understand that it's something that the Lord expects his disciples to do. And so we want to learn how to do it biblically. Let's stand together if you're able. Matthew chapter 6, verse 16. Let's pray, and then we'll read. Lord, I thank you for this opportunity to come together this afternoon. Thank you for all who have gathered. And I pray that your Holy Spirit would move in our hearts and minds. And if anyone here or watching online has never been born again, that today would be the day of their salvation. Today they would repent of their sin and unbelief. Today they would trust in Jesus with all their heart, call on your name and be saved. And for all who are saved, Father, help us to live the life you've given us in the faith by faith. Help us to walk by faith, to walk in the Spirit, and to be men and women and boys and girls of prayer and of giving, and yes, Lord, even of fasting. Please help us to learn, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The Bible says in verse 16, "Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites, of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head, wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." Amen. Please be seated. So we walk through some of the purposes, reasons behind fasting as we walk through the New Testament to prepare for ministry, to gain spiritual strength. We talked about in worship and ministering to the Lord, fasting was a part of that. Seeking guidance, and especially as it relates to commissioning leaders. So Jesus spent all night in prayer and obviously fasting. He was praying, not eating. And then we have the leaders in the church at Antioch in Acts 13. They were ministering, they were fasting, and all that was taking place before the Lord called up and sent out Barnabas and Saul to the work that he called them to. Seeking guidance, of course, is a part of that. Longing for Christ's presence. Our bridegroom has gone on up, and we would fast in missing him and longing for his return. Amen. Spiritual warfare and deliverance can be a time for fasting. Repentance, mourning, and it's a time to humble the soul. Fasting can be a part of our repentance, can be a part of a time of sorrow. Seeking God's favor and hearing his voice. Cornelius, when he fasted, and Peter, both, when they were fasting and praying, God spoke to them both. And so it can be a time to hear from God. And focused devotion, especially when it comes to married couples, to step aside from everything else, to devote yourself to fasting and prayer for a season. And then, of course, discipline and endurance. When we fast, we bring our bodies into subjection, and it helps us to be prepared for times when we can't. So when you discipline your body at times by choice, it will help you to be ready for those times when it's not of choice. And that makes sense, just like exercise, right? If you exercise your body, you're going to be stronger, you're going to have better endurance, be able to do more things when you're in a position where you have to do something. And the same thing's true in the spiritual. So I want to come to just a few things here this afternoon and some New Testament principles for fasting about how to fast. Number one comes from our text. We want to fast in secrecy and sincerity. Fast in secrecy and sincerity. We don't put our fasting on display for everybody to know. In other words, I don't think it's good for you to get on your Facebook account and say, "Man, I've been fasting for 36 hours." That's not the purpose. Now, if you do that, people are going to probably be like, "Wow, that's awesome. Way to go. Good job." But that's what you're going to get out of that, is the accolades of people. So I talked about earlier this morning, the people you live with are going to know that you're fasting. They're going to realize that. So that it's not like nobody can know, but it's about the heart behind it. You're not trying to put it on display. And sincerity. I said this morning that if you you can pray without fasting, but you can't fast without praying. And I stand by that. And the sincerity behind that, when we fast, it's a spiritual activity. If you're fasting for health benefits, that's fine. But if your purpose is health benefits, I'm not saying you can't get both out of it. But if you go into a fast for health benefits, you don't tack on the spiritual benefit on top of that. Does that make sense? And how do you know the difference? Well, how do you know? How do you know? Well, I'm going to go ahead and fast without getting any health benefits. No, that's not going to work either, right? So what it means is the priority of my heart, my sincerity is, my heart is, I am fasting unto the Lord. Amen. And those health benefits are going to be tacked onto that. Amen. Not the other way around, okay? Richard Foster said, more than any other discipline, fasting reveals the things that control us. We cover up what is inside of us with food and other comforts, but in fasting, they surface. And when you fast, especially for long periods of time, it reveals some things about you and what controls you. And so fasting can be a great discipline and show what is sincere in our hearts and minds. Number two, fast with humility. Fast with humility. In Luke chapter 18, verse 11, I know you guys remember this. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. God, I thank thee that I am not as other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And the Lord says, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For every one that exalts himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. And the Pharisee stood up and said, look at me, God, look at who I am, look at what I do for you. I fast twice in the week. I pray, I tithe, I do all these things. But the Lord says that the publican, we're talking about a tax collector, we're talking about a man who everybody in the country knew as an evil person and an extortioner. He was a sinner. He was wicked. He did do evil things. But when he came to God, he humbled himself before God and he said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And when he went home justified. And the Pharisee who declared his own righteousness went home in the same condition he came in, unchanged. Unchanged. So we pray with humility. By the way, when they fasted twice in the week, I'm told there were set days that they would do that. And those also happened to be days that the city would be more open for market, according to history. And the Pharisees picked a couple of days when the most amount of people would be in the city to see them with their disfigured faces to be seen of men. They wanted to maximize the opportunity. Those fasts that they would do would probably be a typical fast, which for them in that day would be a sunrise to sunset fast, which means they would fast for about 12 hours. And it could be that they would get up in the morning before the sun came up and they would eat something and then they wouldn't eat again until the sun went down. Okay? Some of you are like, well, that's not much of a fast. Like, do that every other day on accident. Right? Get busy and forgot to eat. By the way, in case you're wondering, an accidental fast doesn't count. Right? You got up late, you didn't have time for breakfast, you were busy during the day, you didn't have time to stop for lunch, and then it's the end of the day and you're like, oh man, I haven't eaten, it's been like 24 hours, Lord. Yeah, no, you can't do that. Try to give that one to the Lord. Doesn't work. So fasting, we want to do it in secrecy, in sincerity, and with humility. With humility. We want to make sure that we're fasting for the right reasons as unto the Lord. Now, when we look at when to fast, when is the right time for us to fast? And we look all through the scripture. We look all through the scripture, and the only time that it's commanded to fast was on the Day of Atonement. That's not for us. That's not for us. So when should a Christian fast today? When should a Christian fast today? Well, there's no set time. There's no set time. I want to tell you this, though. Fasting cannot become an empty ritual. So when should you fast? You should fast when it's sincere. Amen. You should fast when your heart's in it. Okay? Now, when could that be? Well, it could be that you're struggling with something. Remember when the disciples, the apostles, weren't able to cast out the demon? And Jesus said, this kind cometh not out except by fasting and prayer. So it could be that you're wrestling with something and it's a time to fast because you need God's help. You're facing something that's too great for you and you need more intense prayer, so you fast that. It could be in a time of loss. There's been a lot of loss in our country. There's been a lot of loss in our community the past few weeks and months. And it could be that that's a time for fasting. And listen to me. If you have a loved one who is not eating because they are hurting, you can maybe encourage them, but don't push them. And maybe fasting is exactly what they need in that time. You guys track them with me? Like, we're Americans. We think food's going to fix everything. But sometimes what somebody needs is to fast. And so the timing, it could be a time of heartache. It could be a time of repentance. If you've been wrestling with some sin that keeps overcoming you, you have a besetting sin that keeps tripping you up, and you're wrestling with that, and you keep having a hard time laying it off and setting it aside, it may be a great time for you to spend time fasting. Amen. So the timing is between you and God. And we want to fast with prayer. Amen. We want to fast in worship. And we want to fast in dependence on God. And I'm going to tell you this. The longer you fast, the more you learn about depending on God. Amen. The longer you fast, the more you learn to depend on God. Prayer is always, always linked with, fasting is always linked with prayer in Scripture. They're never, ever separated. They always go together. Often with mourning, often with repentance, often coupled with a time of terror, like your danger, and you're depending on God. In all of those cases, fasting is paired with prayer. So we fast in secrecy and sincerity. We fast with humility, and we fast at the right time. Now, how do we do it? How do we do it? I'm going to tell you this. Fasting is done between you and God. So here's what I'm going to tell you. If you're going to fast, it means that you're going to go without food for a time. How long should you fast? That's between you and God. There's no set amount of time. The most typical fasts in the New Testament were done, like I told you. They were a daytime fast. They were from sunrise to sunset. Now, some people didn't eat the night before, like the morning. They didn't get up and eat breakfast and then start their fast. They would fast through the night, get up, and not eat again until the sun went down. That was the most typical fast. So that's what people today call intermittent fasting. You guys ever heard of that? Intermittent fasting? Okay, there's a lot of very popular intermittent fasts. Some of the 14 hours is kind of the minimum, like just to begin that idea. A lot of people do a 16-8 or an 18-6. Like, there's a lot of different ways. Some people do a 24-hour fast. And all of that's intermittent fasting, basically, until you get to a 24-hour fast. Waiting 24 hours, that's a full-day fast, and that's kind of starting to step it up to the next notch. So some people fast every day. They do intermittent fasting. They do it every day. They do it for health reasons. If you're going to do it for health reasons, like I said, that can't be your primary, and then you tack on a spiritual meaning behind it. I'm going to tell you that if you're intermittent fasting, then you need to flip the script. If you want it to be for the Lord, then make it about that. And just acknowledge that you're going to get health benefits from it. Okay? Does that mean that it's wrong to do intermittent fasting for your health? Of course not. You can do that every day. And if you intermittent fast on a regular, and when you eat, you're probably going to be more thankful for the food you get anyway. Amen. No? All right, I'm just telling you, if you go from 3 regulars a day and you start skipping all your meals except for one, you are a lot more thankful for that meal when it comes. Amen. Preach, all right? Some of you know. You know about it. So when we fast, we want to make it unto the Lord. I think at the heart of it all is the heart, right? The heart of every matter is a matter of the heart. The main thing is that we fast unto the Lord. We recognize that our God is not our belly. Amen. Amen. The Apostle Paul talked about those people, the Cretans, whose God was their belly. And every time I read that, I think about America. I think that we have become a nation of people whose God is our belly. And what does that mean? Just that it's about food. No, it means that we're all about satisfying the desire of our flesh. And brothers and sisters, as Christians, we are not here to satisfy the desires Amen. Of our flesh. Amen. We're here to crucify the flesh so that we can walk in the Spirit. Fasting. It's not something that anybody enjoys. I'll say this. If you enjoy fasting, I'm not sure you're doing it right. I know. I mean, seriously, spiritually, you enjoy it. It's wonderful spiritually, but physically, it's no fun. And that's the whole point, is to afflict ourselves before the Lord. We're going to pray, and then we'll wrap up this part. We will have a time for Q&A in just a minute, but let's pray together. Father, I thank you for the opportunity to come together this afternoon. I pray that we can pray and fast the way you teach us to by your word. Lord, that we would bring our bodies into subjection, that we would not be ruled by our flesh, but by your spirit. Help us to die to self. Help us to walk in the spirit. Help us to learn to fast in a way that would honor you and glorify you in secret, so that you can bless as you see fit. And Father, we pray that you'll forgive us where we fall short. Lord, help us to love you more than we love ourselves. Help us to put your will above our own. And Lord, help us to learn to discipline our bodies so that our minds and our spirits would be disciplined as well. Forgive us and help us, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So I intentionally tried to keep the message part short this afternoon because I anticipated a few questions or some discussion. You guys usually prove me wrong when I expect that. So does anybody have any questions, comments, or anything about fasting today? I'll do my best to answer, but I don't know everything. So group discussion.